Well, Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. And we thank you once again, students, for sharing with us and encouraging us. In fact, as a minister of the gospel, I could just say, amen, and sit down. That wouldn't be a bad idea, would it? But anyways, you delivered the message. You brought out the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, who shared in behalf for each and every one of us that great gift. And you brought us all the way through where we could see, yes, Christ represented throughout the Old Testament. And that, yes, he was there from the foundation of the world. And he came for a great and main purpose, to bring salvation to those that are lost. And this is an encouragement. Today, when I look out in the congregation, I see many guests here. And I welcome each and every one of you. And I wish I had the opportunity to sit and talk and visit with each and every one of you personally. But welcome. I'm glad to see you all here. And I pray that you find Zion welcoming and loving, and I pray that we are encouraging to you, and if we're not, talk to me and we'll straighten them out. But anyways, for our sermon text for this third Sunday of Advent, which is actually the Joy Sunday, that's why the pink candle is lit in the Advent wreath, we're going to go from Ephesians, and you can remain seated for this. It's an epistle teaching. I want to read Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, and I'll read this in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. And you he hath quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all have had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath and evildoers. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, that and not that of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this day and every day henceforth. Amen. This is a powerful, powerful part of scripture where Paul shares with the church of Ephesus of the great and miraculous work of Jesus Christ. And this is the encouragement that the church should be bringing to the world. It seems that we have a message at times that can be quite depressing, quite a struggle for people to swallow. And there is the reality of a need of turning and of repentance. And that's even what Isaiah, Brother Mark, read to us in Isaiah about John the Baptizer to come. The one that proclaims that word that would bring the playing field to a level position that all people could come to him. To come to God the Father through Jesus Christ. And this message that Paul preaches here and speaks boldly to the church of Ephesus is needed throughout the world. The fact of it is that he talks about this even in the opening chapter. In chapter 1, it's very interesting how he comes out so boldly. And he talks about something that we're scared of. Because human beings have messed around with it and played with it and screwed it up. But he talks about something we call predestination. And see, really what it comes down to is that God desired that we all would be saved. God desired that the path of salvation would be open to each and every one of us. See, really what it speaks about here is God saw us in our miserable state, fallen in sinfulness. Dead men walking. And he said, I'm not going to leave them that way. I cannot. He had a choice in reality to save us or destroy us. And thanks be to God, he chose the first. To bring restoration and healing to a world that needs it. To bring restoration and healing to those that were lost and blind, having no ability in themselves to find. God set forth this plan, this path of salvation, and He would desire that all would come in reality to this understanding that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that He is the Redeemer of us individually and corporately. He says in verse 5 of chapter 1, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to His good pleasure and His good will. God had set this plan in motion. I am not an individual that believes in an understanding of dual predestination. In other words, God has destined some for heaven and some for hell. Some others may have some different insight in that, and they have to have that for themselves, but I do not have that. I believe that God has offered His sacrifice for the world. And it says very plainly that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. And all that call on Him, all that believe Him, have received redemption. It is by grace through faith. And this is the proclamation that we carry into this world. You don't need to come to my church. You don't need to think as I think. But the one thing that we have a need of is a Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ. And He is the Messiah of this world. And in His finished work, there is hope and redemption. And this is what we proclaim to the world. We don't proclaim a system of men. We don't proclaim an understanding of human beings. We proclaim the finished work of Jesus Christ. That we were lost. And we had sinned, and we were born in this sin, even by the fall of Adam himself. And it is in our flesh, and we permeate of this. But there is a greater hope that is beyond that, and that is the last Adam, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, took on the form of flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And He took that seat upon Calvary, He took the cross, and He nailed our sin, the world's sin, to that cross. And by faith in Him, we are redeemed. This is the great hope that He talks about. God is not an author of evil seeking to destroy. In reality, He is the author of light and seeks to save. And so when He talks about this path of destination, it in reality speaks to all who believe. It speaks that the path is available and open. And that's what John the Baptizer was pointing to. He was pointing to the fact that God was bringing restoration. And He was calling individuals to see their need and their sinfulness. And in reality, joins them to that, acknowledging it, but yet with a greater purpose. Because John didn't leave it there. John pointed to one that was greater. John himself describes it as one that I cannot even touch his shoes. Christ Jesus, the Messiah. The sacrificial one. This same one that we proclaim in Christmas, the same one that we often look at a manger seat and get all sentimental about, the same one that we talk about in His great, miraculous virgin birth. This same one, in 30 some odd years, human beings will cry to crucify. And God knew it. God knew it from the beginning. And yet it did not deter His path. Christ knew His anointing as the Messiah. He understood what it meant. We turn around day and age and we look at things and we say anointing is great blessing. And yes, it is. When we look throughout the Scriptures, we understand that when kings were anointed and all these things, there was blessing with it. But Christ knew. He understood what the anointing as Messiah meant. It meant His death. And He willingly went to the cross. Not just for me. And not just for the individual sitting next to you. He went to the cross for you. Oftentimes in our life we become our own worst critics. Oftentimes we have a tendency to overlook inconsistencies in others. But yet we live with dread with our inconsistencies. And God knows each and every one of them. But yet He loves you so much that He sent His only begotten Son, that you would have a hope, that you would have restoration. And He calls for you to see that. And that's what these children shared with us today, of this great hope that was established even in the Old Testament all the way through. And it doesn't end in the New Testament writings. It continues on even now. That we as a body of believers, that we profess and we claim to the living Christ, that He is risen. He is risen indeed. And when we turn and we look at what Paul is saying there, he says, do you understand that He, Christ Jesus, He has brought you back. He has made you alive. And that's what he says in his opening verse. He has quickened you. He has given you life. Because you were dead. You had no ability to help yourselves. How could we grasp this? How can we understand the power that is being spoken here? We've been here for funerals. We've come to churches. We've gone to nursing homes and things like that and seen people pass. And we go and we look at a dead body and we say, you know what? They can't do anything. I know it sounds cruel, but what can a dead person do? Nothing. They have no ability to help themselves. If I was at home and I kicked the buckets, my wife would call Ron Antola because I can't do it. Dead people don't do anything. We were paralyzed by sin. But God, He saw that. And He gave us something greater. And He came and He brought restoration where I could not help myself. It's not about a self-help program. It's not about seven steps to success. It's about the need of a Savior and the gift of God. That is the proclamation of the kingdom. He says, you were dead in sins and trespasses, but He brought you back to life. He says, and in fact, in times past, you walked. You walked according to the rest of this world, the unbelievers. This is how you operated. Now, understanding, Paul is speaking to the believers in Ephesus, but it doesn't go to us void even if we don't know. It's a call. It's a call for us to understand and to know this Savior. It's a call for us to turn and to repent and turn away from our works, turn away from our life and see the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It is a call to His goodness. He says, you walked in this way. He says, in fact, you were caught up with the prince of this world. The adversary himself in deception. Plain terms. The devil. This is how you operated before, but you are no longer this way. Brothers and sisters in Christ, whom are we listening to? Who do we receive our encouragement from? Where do we receive even the edifying word, but through God's word itself, the encouragement that we need? And he says very plainly, he says, now, among whom we've all had our conversation in time past, he says, actually dealing with the lust of our flesh and fulfilling our desires of the flesh and also of the mind. He says, really what it comes down to is we are so messed up, we were by nature born into the sinfulness. He kind of paints a pretty dark picture here, and it's not a picture that we can look at somebody else and say, well, that's your problem, not mine. He says the human race was born into this. It permeated from their flesh. And it would seem quite desperate. But you know what? We always say in life, there's no buts. You ever heard that statement? There's no buts in life. But I love it because Paul comes out so strongly in Ephesians. And he really turns around and he paints this dark picture of how we were left to our own devices in our flesh and in our own sinfulness, born even in this way. And you feel like, there's nothing I can do. And there's truth in that. According to ourselves and our own abilities, there's nothing we can do. But, and that's where we need to look at verse 4, but God. When everything seems in opposition, when everything seems that it cannot be undone, when everything seems hopeless, there is this understanding and a statement, but God, all things are possible through Him. All things. The Scripture says very plainly, even in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you cling to that this day? Are you encouraged in and through that in this day? Whatever you may be going through, whatever family tragedy you are dealing with. And I'm not saying that you can will yourself out of it, but can you carry forward by the strength of Jesus Christ? Can you move forward because of the hope of that redeeming work of Jesus Christ, that no matter what this world may throw at you, there is a victory in Him, a peace that cannot be taken away? He says, but God, and this is your God He speaks about. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Can you feel the flavor that He speaks here, the boldness that Paul speaks about? We turn around often in this world and we represent a God that wants to hit us for everything. We represent a God sometimes and we portray Him as one that's waiting to get us. But Paul speaks in this fashion, when you are lost in your sin and your trespass, God who is rich in mercy, because He had this great love wherein He loved us, He brings it out in full boldness. Whether you like what I'm saying or not, it doesn't matter. Because the Scripture speaks it in this fashion. Even when we were dead in sins, He brought us back. Even when we were lost, dead, not seeking for Him, He brought us back. He brought restoration to this corrupt earth. It is a powerful message that we need to stand in. It is a powerful message that we need to proclaim. It is a powerful message that needs to rain truth into our lives, that we can live victorious in this world. But God, in His great mercy, overflowing mercy, wherein He loved us, when we were dead in our sins and our trespasses, He quickened us, made us alive together. But how? Through Christ Jesus. This is the message of Christmas. The greatest gift that we could ever be given. It's not an Xbox, it's not a PS3, it's nothing like that. It is Christ Jesus and Him crucified for the world and resurrected in reality for the world, but claimed very personally by each and every believer in faith. And He says very plainly in verse 5, He says, by grace you are saved. I think we could all use some grace. I need grace. 1 o'clock this morning, I needed grace. Today, I need grace. You need grace. We all need grace, and we lose sight of what that grace means. It means when I don't deserve it, when I have done nothing for it, it is unmerited favor. In other words, I didn't work for it. And my God looks upon me in my state and He says, I will forgive you. I will love you. I will pour everything out for you. I will die in your behalf. I will die in your behalf. There was one banner at the Interlutheran Seminary when I went to seminary that just spoke to me in volumes. And I believe someone here might have made it, but I could be wrong. And it shows Jesus hanging on a cross on that banner. And it says, as you walk by, is it nothing? Something like that. That is grace. What does Christ mean to you? Is He just a cute babe in a little manger scene? Is He just a cute babe where in reality, down around His birthday time, we celebrate it whether we know Him or not and we get a bunch of gifts? Or is He the one that has poured out unmerited favor in the midst of your struggle and your difficulty, in the midst of your perversions, in the midst of your greed, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your alcohol problems, in the midst of all things that may be going on, and I can't even name them all. And I'm not looking down my nose at anybody, because I know who I am into the flesh. But I do not remain there. I look to the finished work of Jesus Christ and understand the grace of God and the hope of restoration that He brings. I understand the blood that has covered a multitude of my sin and your sin. Can I look with that same love and that mercy to others? Can we be children of grace? Can we be children of mercy? And can we call for a righteous word to be preached and a righteous word to be proclaimed that, yes, calls men everywhere to repent and believe this gospel, but not an understanding of man. Because true repentance is called forth by God. And do you know what the scripture says? Whether I like it or don't like it, whether you like it or don't like it, Paul himself says, do you not know, brothers, that it is the goodness of God that calls men to repentance? Are we living and showing and enjoying that unmerited favor of God? For by grace you are saved. And now in this understanding and faith here, he says, he has raised us up together and to sit together in heavenly places. Do you understand what that means? I didn't for a long time, and I've struggled with this for years, and I got mad at one of my pastor friends because, you know, this guy seemed to live in an optimism that wasn't even real. And I told him straight out, I said, you act like you're in heaven already. And he looked at me and he says, well, brother, I am. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, do you understand that by the finished work of Jesus Christ and faith in Him, I am seated in heavenly places? That we are represented, that we are secure in Him, and that our position is there, our name is written in that book of life, and we have nothing but hope and restoration in Him. It says very plainly, He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. How? By Christ Jesus. We are represented by Him. And there is no greater representation. There is no greater name amongst this earth or anywhere. And this is our hope. He says that in the ages to come, whatever may happen, he says, He might continue to show us His exceeding riches. And also, what? His grace, unmerited favor in His kindness towards us. How? Through Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what are we to proclaim? Whom are we to trust in? Christ Himself. He says in verse 8, a very familiar part of Scripture to us that's very near and dear to me, no doubt about it, and I'm one of those grace preachers, so whatever. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is Christmas, the greatest gift of all. You guys, you've treated me with kindness. This congregation has been a blessing to my wife and to my family, no doubt about it. In fact, during Christmas time, I have to admit, a lot of people come and give me great gifts. They give me kind gifts. I want you to think about this. The next time one of you comes to me and hands me a gift, and I say to you, hold on, we got to go to my office. And you come to my office, and I reach in my desk drawer, and I pull out my checkbook. And I say to you, Steve Erickson, thank you for the gift. Now you owe me one. Thank you for the gift. Now I'm going to write you a check because I got to pay you for it. Is that a gift? No. We cannot turn around and pay God for what He has done. There's not enough right works in our life that we can give to God that He has done. And if someone was to go to a wedding feast and give a gift away and the bride and groom felt they had to write a check for it, there is no grace, there is no mercy, there is no gift in that. They have earned it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, can we humble ourselves in the grace and mercy of God to receive the most precious gift that has been given? Grace. And can we also enter in this Christmas season into this world and show the same? Can we enter into this world being forgiven and being made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, also offering forgiveness and righteousness by that same name? He says it is a gift of God. He says it's not of works. Because Jesse is such a human being, I would be bragging to everybody else, Steve Erickson came and gave me this for Christmas, but I paid him back. I got him. In fact, I gave him $10 more than he spent. That's how human our flesh is. But God is so rich in mercy, He has loved us. In the middle of my sinfulness, And the scripture also says, in times of our ignorance, my stupidity, he says that God winks at. He overlooks that quickly. But what? Calls all men everywhere to repent, to turn, and believe in this good news, this gospel message. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is Christmas. And you have received, we have received, the greatest gift of all. God's love in the form of Christ by sacrifice and service. May we also show that same love throughout the upcoming year. Merry Christmas. Amen.